Yes, it is all about the children, even after they're born. Rick Smith.
I still can't get over just how completely unhinged Scott Wagner has become. And look, he's always been off the beaten path. He's always been a kind of a lunatic, a bully. He's always been that kind of, I'll reach across the table and I'll strangle you. He's always been that guy. And one of my favorite clips is of him putting on surgical gloves, talking about how, you know, things are going to get bloody, but I'm not getting blood on my hands. And you go, what exactly are you talking about, you lunatic? Now, this guy, the Republican Party, has elevated to their top spot here in the state. He's going to be the guy that they put their faith in. And look, the hope is that Lynn Swann smiles going forward, because it's my understanding Swann took the biggest beating in gubernatorial history in the state of Pennsylvania. I'm hoping Wagner takes a much worse beating at the polls. And I'm not standing out on the side of the highway screaming at a billboard. I'm here to share some thoughts on the latest, well, whatever that was. I've asked our good friend Ted Kirsch to come talk with us. Ted is the president of AFT Pennsylvania. Ted, thanks for taking time for us.
Having me on again. And we all know what kind of business that Mr. Wagner is in, and it's trash. And now he's doing nothing but talking trash. It is unbelievable, and I don't know how many of the listeners have heard his latest, I don't even know how to describe it.
Well, I'm sure they've heard it, because here it is right here.
Well, Governor Wolf, let me tell you, between now and November 6th, you better put a catcher's mask on your face, because I'm going to stomp all over your face with golf spikes, because I'm going to win this for the state of Pennsylvania, and we're throwing you out of office, because you know what? I'm sick and tired of your negative ads.
Golf spikes, Ted! Golf spikes!
You know what? When he started by saying, when he first went into the Senate, I'm going to bring a baseball bat and I'm going to hit people over the head until they do what he wants. But this is a pattern that continues. It's classless. And just to think, do we, as citizens of Pennsylvania, want someone to represent us? And I know we don't all agree on issues, but do we want somebody like that to represent us in public and on issues? It's unbelievable.
Yeah, but beyond even, you know, the insanity and the bullying and the baby Trump wannabe, you know, without the personality, the charisma, or the social media savvy. Beyond that, even on issues, he's terrible. I mean, you know, let's take education for a second. Here's a guy who said that we could, you know, get rid of 10% of the teachers. Nobody would know it. Here's a guy who flew over a local school and said, hey, the grass is cut. Everything looks fine down there. Here's a guy who said he was going to cut education. And now, as he's the gubernatorial candidate, all of a sudden turned around and said, we're going to spend $1 billion more. And I'm going, okay, where did that epiphany come from?
He doesn't even know what he's saying, just like the guy with the funny hair in Washington.
Yeah, that's a good point. Here's the thing. I think Wagner wants to be, the Trump, the little Trump. But the problem is he doesn't have a personality for it. I mean, say what you want about Trump. At least he's mildly entertaining. Wagner is just a lunatic. I mean, I watched that little video of him standing on the side of the road, ranting and raving at a camera. And you just go, you know, this guy just looks like a lunatic. Someone get him help. Maybe. And I talked with John Fetterman on Friday. I said, you know, isn't this not an opportunity to maybe start talking about mental health issues in the Commonwealth and maybe bring back, you know, state hospitals? Because, look, the guy's clearly unhinged.
There's no question about it. And I don't know what the voters who are looking at this, what they're thinking is. I know that statistically right now it looks like Wolf is, you know, ahead in the polling. But in the last election, we remember some of the polling, what they said about
right.
Hillary Clinton. So we can't really rely too much on polling, because you don't know what's going to happen or who's going to vote.
Right.
That's the key.
Yeah, the last Franklin and Marshall poll I saw was Wolf up 50-30 with 18 undecided. And it's my view that after watching this video, the other 18 had better be somewhat sane and rational and decide already, because you want this lunatic in the governor's mansion. Because, you know, he issued another video of him trying to apologize. And, you know, maybe I used the wrong metaphor, and, you know, maybe I was, but I'm passionate, and, you know, the pressure of the campaign. And I'm going, hey, dummy, do you know what the pressure of being in office is going to be like? Do you know what the pressure of actually being governor is going to be like? I would assume much, much more than running just a campaign.
That's true. You are accountable when you're in office. And this man's just not accountable for anything that he does or says.
Now, here's the thing, the other part of this. And, I just had this conversation today. And I said, you know, outside of even, you know, this crazy video of, you know, the golf spikes. And you know, hey, wait, what kind of working class voter has golf spikes in their garage?
If you're working class, for the most part, you don't even know what they are.
Exactly.
I hate to say that.
But no, it's true. I mean, you know, here's this elitist, very wealthy business guy who's, you know, trying to connect with, you know, Joe Sixpack. And he's, you know, he's trying. You know, the baseball bat would have gotten their attention, but golf spikes. And with the heavy emphasis, what exactly were you thinking?
I don't know what he's thinking, and I hope that the voters are listening and understand that what a disaster, and I use that word advisedly, disaster it would be if that man was our governor.
Right, and that's where I went with this conversation I had this afternoon. I said, look, outside of the antics and outside of the, you know, the bullying and, you know, grabbing people's cameras and, you know, pushing people around and, you know, the threats of, you know, we're going to hit people with baseball bats, outside, you know, the one camera guy, the one TV guy who was going to want to strangle, you know, outside of that, you know, policy-wise, the guys, you're just going to be, would be atrocious. Pennsylvania would be a right-to-work state, you know, faster than Kentucky could have even thought of pursuing that. And, you know, all of the anti-worker, no rights at work agenda would be here front and center. And I would argue passed within minutes of his first, you know, half hour in session.
And he has a legislature that would go along philosophically with what he believes in.
And that's the scary part of this. And this is why I keep coming back to my, you know, my union brothers and sisters and, you know, all the working class people in this state going, look, if you like the idea of continually giving tax breaks to the very wealthy, if you like the idea of more huge tax breaks for corporations, and, oh, by the way, your kid's not getting, you know, the education that they're entitled to, and, oh, by the way, the infrastructure continuing to crumble, and, oh, by the way, investment in the future of the state, you know, going bye-bye, then he's your guy. I mean, you know, we're going to go back to the Corbett era, and he's going to be Corbett on steroids.
Oh, I think it could be worse. Corbett, you know, made sense to some degree, even though I didn't agree with him. This guy makes no sense with whatever he says. He doesn't even know what he's saying.
So you ask the question, how did he get to this position? I mean, you know, I remember he ran what I thought was a fairly good write-in campaign when he ran for state senate. And this is what I had said from the beginning. I go, you know, the guy's, you know, he ran a very good campaign then. He's going to have tons of money, which evidently now he's crying poverty. But then again, hey, when you take $1 million from Betsy DeVos and turn it into $300,000, okay, shows that maybe you haven't figured out how to handle money yet. But I thought, you know, he would have, you know, a good sum of money to run a campaign. He was a worker, you know, and wow, the wheels on the bus have just gone in every direction on this campaign.
Well, maybe he's telling us he has a lot of money that he doesn't have, like the guy in Washington, what's coming out as well.
No, that's a good point. But, you know, here's the thing, and I point to the $1 million that billionaire Betsy gave him, of which I like to say he turned that $1 million into $300,000 right quick. And do you really want that guy holding the purse with our tax dollars in it? I think not. But, you know, that $1 million didn't come, you know, just because, hey, I like you, Scott. That came with strings attached, and that those strings are destroying public education.
That's her goal, and it's his goal as well. We're having trouble getting teachers today. The vacancy rate throughout the Commonwealth is too high, trying to get qualified people. And he says we have too many teachers, that we can get rid of thousands of teachers. He's going in the wrong direction.
Yeah.
We need more. We need smaller classes. We need more services for kids that need services. There are a lot of kids that have special needs, and we're not providing it, because we're not putting the money where it should be.
Yeah, I know. Just the other day, my Facebook alert popped up and said, hey, you know, I think it was 2 years ago on this date, you know, you talked about this girl, this LaPortia Massey. I don't know if you remember her name. But, you know, she was one of the kids who had, you know, died, and there wasn't a nurse at the school. Whether she would have, you know, still died if there was a nurse there or not, we don't know. But I would have liked to have a fighting chance with a nurse there. And I remember, you know, it was one of those Facebook moments that said, hey, you know, this is what you were talking about. And it got me thinking, you know, has that problem been solved? Does every school in this Commonwealth have a qualified nurse? Do we have librarians in the library? Do we have, you know, counselors where we need them? Do we have all of the things that our kids need to get the education that they're constitutionally entitled to?
The answer to your series of questions is no. We don't have everything that we need, and all the kids are not getting what they deserve to have.
No, it's not even a matter of deserve. They're constitutionally guaranteed a thorough and efficient public education, and yet I've yet to have anyone tell me that what we're seeing is that.
Well, I've got my fingers crossed that this present Supreme Court in Pennsylvania might come up with a decision to that on that question, because it's being asked. It's in the Constitution, and from my perspective, and I'm not a lawyer, I'm just an educator, it's not happening.
Yeah. But, you know, you look at this, and again, it comes back to this policy debate, because, you know, we can continue to have the funny yuck-yucks over, you know, stupid people saying stupid things like this. Oops. Like this guy here, you know, who does this.
Well, let me tell you, between now and November 6th, you better put a catcher's mask on your face, because I'm going to stomp all over your face with golf spikes, because I'm going to win this for the state of Pennsylvania, and we're throwing you out of office, because you know what? I'm sick and tired of your negative ads.
He's sick and tired, but you know, we can continue to have the cheap laughs at, you know, at clearly his devolving into the need for attention. But you know, on a policy position, you know, this, it's very serious, because you look at what he has done over his Senate career, and it has been to attempt to destroy and privatize public education. And I think Tom Wolf, given the fact that you have a Republican legislature who, you know, really wanted to give him no wins whatsoever, has done a really good job in the face of really overwhelming odds to help, you know, push public education forward and restore some of the billion-dollar funding that the Corbett years took out.
Well, there's not even an issue that, to anyone who thinks and looks at the issues, there's no way that it's common sense that you can vote for a candidate like that. I just don't understand it.
Yeah, I mean, it's bizarre stuff. But, you know, here's the other part of this, and I guess this is where my bias is. I've known Tom Wolf for a number of years, even before he was governor, and he was just, you know, a local businessman. He's a truly good, decent, honest, caring guy. Somebody who I'm proud is our governor, and I think, and I use the deserve word very infrequently. But here's a guy who deserves a second term, because I think he has done really a fantastic job this first term.
I agree, and I've had conversations with him over the years that he's been in office about education, and what's amazing to me is that he will call and ask my opinion on issues of education. He's not saying that he knows everything, whatever. He's reaching out. He's asking people about issues and what they think. Now, we don't always agree on issues, and right, he may ask my opinion. He may not always accept it. But I think it shows the kind of person he is, that he reaches out. He wants to hear. He wants to listen. And that's the kind of person that we need in elective office.
So you'd rather have someone listen to you than threaten to hit you with a baseball bat. Am I getting that right?
Yeah, that's true.
And I got to tell you, I loved Governor Wolf's response when told about the little video clip. I think he said something along the lines of, I don't think I'd like that. I think it would hurt.
Sense of humor.
Yeah, you know, what are you going to do? You know, no, I'll get the mask and I'll beat him with a bat backwards. I'm just, you know, I can't get over the, you know, the golf spike thing. I guess I just, but, you know, should I be surprised? I mean, honestly, knowing this guy's history.
Not at all.
Not at all.
Not at all. It's just the lack of response from people who you would think would be supporting him. You don't hear a word. Not to even say, you're wrong. You can't bully people.
Yeah.
Why is there silence on something that is so absurd as his comments?
Yeah, I found it interesting. His social media team must be working for the Wolf campaign because they tweeted out they tweeted out the picture of him holding the duck and the duck took a dump all over him. That was funny. But they also tweeted out a picture of, thanks to all of our volunteers and our supporters, who are out knocking on doors and taking out signs. And the four people in the picture, three of them were holding Lloyd Smucker signs. I think you need to get that framing just a little bit better if you're actually going to run a competent campaign. It's just amazing stuff to me. The last question I've got for you, in looking at this, because we're coming down to the final days here. I personally have no idea how 18% of the people in the Franklin and Marshall poll can possibly be undecided. But make a pitch. Why is Wagner the wrong guy?
Because he opens up his mouth and everything that comes out is wrong for the people of Pennsylvania.
There you go.
That's simple.
And sometimes the simplest response is the best response. Good stuff. Ted, I appreciate the time, the thoughts. Always great talking to you, my friend.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on.
Anytime. Our good friend Ted Kirsch. He's the vice president of AFTPA here in the Commonwealth. A quick break. Right back. Stick around. You're listening to The Rick Smith Show. We're working people. Come to talk.